Hey, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Katie.
You're listening to Nostalgia. It's a story.
Wow.
From memory. I can't get the first lines of the song. Of a lonely fellow?
Lovely lady, I think.
Lovely lady. And she met a lonely fella?
No, a man named Brady.
A man named Brady. Well, this is a disaster. Katie.
How do I know this better than you?
Can you name, how many of the nine squares can you name on the screen right now?
Alice.
Where are you you're starting in the center.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to start in the center.
The free space.
She's a free space.
Uh-huh.
We got the man named Brady.
Uh-huh.
Paul? Jim? I don't know.
I'm not going to confirm or deny any of your answers
then
here.
You got Mrs. Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Carol?
Mm-hmm.
You got Marcia. Everybody knows Marcia. You got Jan. You got Lindsay. Cindy?
Keep going.
Then you got Greg. I'm just thinking of like really 70s names, you know, like Greg. And then you got Peter and Dave, Jimmy, Bobby. It's definitely Bobby.
You did pretty good here.
Okay, did I get them all right?
You'll find out. So, have you ever seen?
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's the story of a man named Brady, who was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men living all together, yet they were all alone. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow,
The Brady Bunch.
I have seen The Brady Bunch. I think for one summer we somehow mysteriously got TV Land
like
without having
accident.
Cable. I don't know. I don't know how it happened. It was very confusing.
Uh-huh. Maybe it was like a preview,
Know?
I don't know. Okay, so when that happened, you watched it. Did you watch it unsupervised or did you have a little bit of context from your mom or dad or both?
I think we watched it with my mom, you know, and she was like, yeah, watch that Evil Tiki episode. That's the only thing I remember about the Brady Bunch is the Evil Tiki.
Well, you're in luck, Kate, because today we'll be watching quite a bit of the Brady Bunch.
Oh, no.
Including all three parts of the Evil Tiki episode.
Why would they make a three-parter?
It's a three-parter, Kate. It's a movie, basically.
Wasn't there like a surfing accident?
It's cursed, Kate, of course.
Oh, okay. It's really xenophobic.
So, The Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch, Kate, aired on ABC from September 26, 1969 to March 8, 1974. They made five seasons and 117 episodes. It's iconic. Iconic TV.
They got a great house.
They do. The house is great. And was featured on HGTV very recently. It was created by Sherwood Schwartz.
What a great name.
It's an amazing name.
Ugh.
So Schwartz was born in 1916. In the 1930s, he tried to get into medical school to become a doctor. But at that time, there were limits on how many Jewish students could be admitted per year per the American Medical Association.
Yikes.
Luckily, his consolation prize was he got a job writing for Bob Hope's radio program. Then he was drafted into the Army, where he was a writer for the Army's radio network. And that, what a job if you're in the Army. And then
that would
after,
have been you.
After his service, he wrote more radio for the Ozzie and Harriet show before it was TV. It was a radio show. Then he breaks into TV. He becomes a TV writer. He quickly rises up the ranks and becomes the head writer for the Red Skelton show. In 1964, he gets to create his own show, Gilligan's Island. Ever seen it?
Sure have. Big crush on the professor.
That tracks. At the tail end of Gilligan's Island, he creates his second show, a show called It's About Time. Nowhere near as successful as Gilligan's Island. It only lasted one season. It's about astronauts who accidentally travel back in time and get stranded on a tropical island, basically.
So it was just the set from Gilligan's Island.
It was literally the set from Gilligan's Island. Although
the title's so great because it's literally about time.
Yeah, Sherwood Schwartz is funny.
Sherwood, what are you doing?
Weirdly, we won't talk too much about it, but the first half of the season of It's About Time is on like a tropical area. And then, because it was doing really poorly, they totally switch it up for the second half of the season. And they come back to modern day and they bring like the cave people they met with them. So it actually sounds vaguely interesting because it wasn't formulaic. Anyway. But then in 1969, he gets to create his third show, The Brady Bunch. Equally as famous and iconic as Gilligan's Island, if not more so. Here's what happened. Schwartz read an article that said that 30% of people who were getting married in the late 60s had children from a previous marriage, and that inspired him to create a show about two single parents who each have three children get married. That's it.
Huh.
He was pitching this show around in the mid to late 60s, wasn't getting a lot of traction, but then in 1968, the movie Yours, Mine, and Ours came out with Henry Fonda and Lucille Ball. Ever seen it? Seems like something your
mom
would like.
I don't think so, but I think I saw the weird knockoff one with the racist title, With Six You Get Egg Roll.
Yeah, talk about xenophobia.
But not good.
That came out shortly after, and those movies both were about big blended families. So Schwartz actually had the Brady Bunch idea first. The networks didn't pick it up. Yours, Mine, and Ours comes out as a big hit. And then the networks are like, hey, we remember that pitch you had. We can like kind of tag up on the success of this movie, the success of big blended families in the culture right now. So he's able to get it made. And like I said, it started in 1969. The father is a widower. The mother is supposed to be divorced. Mm-hmm. But ABC forbade him from using the word divorce in the show.
Of course they did.
Or ever discussing it. So they just never bring it up. Why she... is not married anymore.
I think they should have been like, you know what? They either should have leaned into divorce and been like, you know what, Carol, like you went after what you want and you're becoming a self-actualized woman, or they should have been like, your husband fell in a wood chipper. You know, a good Christian show would be like, thank God her husband fell in a wood chipper so she didn't have to experience the shame of divorce.
What's kind of interesting, though, is the first season, when the kids are really young, they like address the fact that it's kind of challenging to blend your families together. But then starting in season two, they basically never bring it up again. Like the show is not, after the first season, it's not about the hurdles, the maybe trauma of what the kids all went through with the previous parents. It just becomes like your standard kind of fun sitcom. I don't know. I find it interesting. But the show is so iconic. Like, there are so many. Can you name, like, any of the other famous episodes? I know you said you only really watched the Tiki one. You said everyone knows Marsha. Why does everyone know Marsha?
Everyone knows Marsha because Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Bing. What else? What else you got? There's so many of these.
Listen,
I'm curious what you know.
I've been marinating in the cultural stew.
Uh-huh. What you got?
For 33 years. Mm-hmm. Here's what I got. Football to the face.
Mm-hmm.
Bing. Bobby goes through puberty.
Close.
Is there one like that?
It's Peter, but yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember he's singing the Changes song and his voice cracks?
Nope. They meet the Partridge Family.
Kind of. They meet Davy Jones. Yep.
Yep. Okay. They meet Scooby-Doo.
Close. He's a monkey. Does the Brady Bunch meet Scooby-Doo? That's a good question. Yeah. It's plausible. There was a Hanna-Barbera, or no, it was Filmation. Anyway, go on.
These are great pitches, by the way. Brady Bunch meets Swamp Thing.
Anything else? George Glass mean anything to you?
Yeah. Fake boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
Alice gets back.
Should I just censor that whole sentence you just said? People will be like, what did she say? Do you know who Alice's boyfriend is?
Yeah, Reginald.
Sam the Butcher.
Okay, great.
All right, so you don't know as much as I thought you might about the Brady
Bunch.
The dog Bunch.
Goes
okay.
missing.
Wow, who told you that?
I was just making...
No, wait, the dog really goes missing. You made that up?
In
the first season, in the first episode, there's a dog, and then they never mention him again.
That was
just like the older brother from Happy Days.
Cindy thinks about murder.
All right, I think we have had enough here.
And obviously the evil Tiki.
How about the new member of the family in the final six episodes?
Cousin.
You almost got it. I can't tell if you know this stuff or if you're just really good at guessing.
Cousin Paul.
It's Cousin Oliver.
Oh, God. I mean, I was only one letter off.
Like those letters are next to each other in the alphabet?
Yeah.
Wow. So the show is iconic. There's all that stuff. It's so in the culture, or was for a long time. But interestingly, it never placed in the top 30 shows in the ratings during its original run. Like, it really wasn't a hit. It just endured. Like, it did okay, but it was never a smash. At the very end of the final season, its ratings were really starting to drop, though. So they panicked and they added Cousin Oliver.
being Cousin Oliver.
The show, oh, yeah. He definitely went through it, that actor. He's definitely got some weird stuff about this. I've seen him. I used to watch all these awful, crappy VH1
retrospectives.
And he would always be on there. But it's so funny because, like, Cousin Oliver is the Brady Bunch version of Happy Days Jumping the Shark.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, it's a thing. You talk about shows where they add a new baby. Even Malcolm in the Middle did it. And that's like, they're adding a Cousin Oliver. There's only six episodes with him, which is crazy because, like, culturally, he is so hated.
Can you imagine being Cousin Oliver? So hated that they've named a thing after you.
He even supposedly... I haven't rewatched it, but he is the last character to speak in the last episode of the show.
Like, what did he say?
I don't know. He's like, "Well, boy," something like that. I don't know, Kate.
I will be universally hated.
It's not profound. It's not. God bless us, everyone. Just quick side notes about the spinoffs and continuations. They made 5 albums of music. The Brady Kids were doing music because they sang in a few episodes, and then they tried to have this second career.
Were they any good?
Define good.
Would I listen to them if I didn't know that they were the Brady Kids?
I doubt it. It's more of a novelty. They're okay, but there's the Brady Kids, an animated series from 1972 to 74. There's the Brady Bunch Variety Hour, which was 9 episodes only from 1976 to 1977. There's the Brady Girls Get Married, a 1981 TV movie, which launched a spinoff called The Brady Brides, a whole show for one very short season.
Were they all getting married at the same time?
Something like that.
A sister wife scenario?
I think it's just, I'm probably wrong because this isn't what the episode's about. I didn't do proper research. I think it's just Marcia and Jan. I don't think Cindy gets married to.
Well, that's because Cindy was.
Well, there are going to be a lot of confusing bleeps in this episode.
You can't leave that in.
What if it just says that's because Cindy was, and then there's a long bleep.
Boop, boop, boop.
No, just one solid bleep. A Very Brady Christmas was a 1988 TV movie. I saw some of these TV movies as a kid, and like that one is a little more serious. I think that's the one where the dad gets trapped in a collapsing mine or something. You're not going to believe it.
Maybe, like your ancestors?
Maybe.
For those of you who don't know, okay. Tyler's ancestor got trapped in a mine.
In like the 1800s.
In the 1800s, and it was featured in the local paper.
My dad is doing genealogy and found this article about it recently.
And when they interviewed him, he was like, I was very brave down in the mine.
Katie likes to make fun of me.
It was just like talking to him today. Like if you had gotten trapped in a mine, when you came out, you'd have been like, and I was so brave down there.
And meanwhile, I was like, would have been climbing
whimpering
up people to get out. So that's 1988, A Very Brady Christmas. We might need to watch it this Christmas. You gotta see it.
Oh, God.
Then that somewhat serious TV movie was popular enough that it spawned a new show called The Bradys, which only lasted 6 episodes in 1990, but it was a little more grown up. It's the cast, you know, I think they're all back. Most of them are, at least. And they're like grown up. It's somewhat funny, but somewhat serious. So bizarre. That's 1990. More recently, this doesn't necessarily count because it doesn't follow the story because it's a reality show, but there was a show called The Very Brady Renovation on HGTV in 2019 where all the actors who were the kids, they get hired by HGTV to remodel the house that's the outside in the show to look like the inside, the set of what it looked like. I don't know what they did with it after.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Kate, HGTV.
Did they have to like fix it at night after these out of work actors
plastered
the wall?
Like when,
and they'd be like, oh,
like when a fraternity and a sorority does
Habitat for Humanity. They gotta go fix it at night.
Did someone tell you that? Or
no, that was when you interviewed the guy from Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah. I talked to a guy from Habitat for Humanity once. I was doing a video project and in college. And yeah, he's like, yeah, sometimes we have to like rebuild the whole house from scratch at night after the fraternity and sorority. Anyway, at the time the show was airing though, Kate, the Vietnam War was like raging. It was at its peak. The sexual revolution was happening. It was the 70s, right? It was the late 60s and into the 70s. But like what made this show kind of unique is that it chose to ignore all of the extremely charged and important movements of the day.
Okay.
Which isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
You'd think young people, the ages of the Brady Kids would probably be politically active.
They'd be into it.
But
be
it
like
pretends it's not happening. It creates this like escapist, which of course, like us looking back from 2023, we're like, no, you have to confront the things of the day. But like, I don't know, some people at the time probably were like, look, I deal with this all day. My best friend got drafted in Vietnam. Like, I don't want to hear about Vietnam. I just want some escapist, weird, like very happy TV. I don't know. So it's like, is it a criticism of the show or is it a benefit? Probably to some and to others. I don't know. But I tell you all this to say, like, that's part of the stew of the Brady Bunch, but it led to this really interesting thing in 1995 called The Brady Bunch Movie, which was like a theatrical film, a comedy, where all the roles are recast. It's like children again playing the kids, new parents. It's actually Shelley Duvall is the mom.
Interesting.
And the point of this movie is the like extremely like ridiculously campy, happy Brady Bunch family live in the 90s now, but they still have their house. They dress like it's the 70s. They're like put at odds with the very real issues of the 90s. It's really bizarre. It's pretty funny. I saw it a long time ago, but anyway, that was successful, had a theatrical sequel, A Very Brady sequel the next year in 96, and then a really not well-received made-for-TV third movie in 2002. The Brady Bunch in the White House. Just wanted to include that in our legacy notes here. The original Brady Bunch, though, was on Nick at Night starting in 1995. That same year that movie came out. That might be why. And then it returned from 98 to 2002. That's where I got all my Brady Bunch there and TV Land, like where you were watching it. So you probably saw it in that 1998 to 2002 window, I'm going to guess. Whew. Because anytime you and I have discussed the Brady Bunch, you've mentioned the Hawaii. We are going to watch the season 4 premiere 3 episodes, Hawaii Bound. That's episode one, Past the Taboo, T-A-B-U, episode two, and The Tiki Caves, episode three. But before that, we need to watch some proper. That like does not really represent what this show was 90% of the time. So we're going to watch two pretty iconic episodes, and I wanted to cover a span of eras here. So we're going to watch season two, episode 12, Confessions, Confessions. We're going to watch season three, episode 10, Her Sister's Shadow, and then we'll do the season four. So you'll see the kids kind of from, not their youngest, but pretty young as they grow up, and then they do the on-location Hawaii thing. Are you ready to explore what the heck this show is about?
Let's do it.
Oh, and then we're going to watch season five, episode two, Alice Gets Her Back.
Shh, here they come. I think we're all going to get now.
Yes, well, one of you broke your mother's vase, but five of you claim you did it.
There seems to be a slight communication gap in this family.
Look, no matter who broke it, the others of you who confessed are just as guilty for hiding the truth. And I'm afraid you're all going to have to be punished.
But when people admit their guilt, aren't they supposed to get a lighter sentence?
Well, that's not up to me, Jan.
What do you mean, Dad?
In this case, your punishments are not going to be decided by your mother or by me.
They will be decided by a jury of one. Your brother, Peter. Peter?
How come?
Well, see, now he's the only one who didn't confess. Doesn't that seem fairly obvious that he alone's innocent?
I don't think it'd make a very good jury.
Well, we'll be the judges of that.
There were four men living all together. You were a man at a younger age back then.
You were. Daddy Brady is a widower.
Mm-hmm.
And Mommy Brady's husband either got put through a wood chipper or they divorced, but we're not going to talk
about
this? About it.
I think she put him through a wood chipper.
Ooh. I love that.
There's
for
a twist.
Her.
No, they're divorced.
Florence. Oh, and then Alice.
There's Alice.
Their servant.
It is kind of weird that they have a servant. He's
I
a
mean,
successful
she's got,
architect.
She's got six kids to take care of.
Yeah, I guess.
But like, she is a homemaker, right? Like,
yes.
Mrs. Brady.
Yes.
Is at home.
Yep. With Alice hanging out.
Uh huh. We're watching one of the Brady children ponderously roll up a sleeping bag. So the Brady boys are here playing free throws in the wastebasket. And the middle Brady, Peter?
Yes.
Peter has just absolutely lobbed it into the hallway and broken a vase.
Seconds after. It was his first throw. They're like, this is Mom's favorite vase. She's going to feed us into the wood chipper like her ex-husband.
Yeah, I want like more kid rivalry here. I want these girls ratting out these boys. Where it's like, I didn't even want you as a sibling anyway. I'm calling Mom right now.
They are harmonious.
At the grocery store.
How?
She's calling the grocery store. All right, here's Daddy Brady, newly arrived home with a bouquet of flowers for his new wife, who he's still trying to date, you know?
Where's he going to put those flowers? Why are there vase shards everywhere?
God, Alice calls the dad Mr. Brady.
Yeah.
Like,
he demands it. This is a weird show. There's many shows like this, but it's got a laugh track, but it was not filmed in front of a studio audience.
These kids' lies are snowballing. I love it.
Yeah, this is like great like French farce for children, you know?
Yeah.
You must admit, Kate, you specifically as a not usually a fan of child actors, these are some pretty darn good child actors.
They're all right. They're all right. I haven't talked about how much I hate them yet, so. Meanwhile, the Vietnam War is raging.
These boys' greatest concern is how we put water in broken vase.
Women are burning their bras. Phyllis Schlafly is shooting down the ERA. The world is burning. Everyone has general malaise. God, their kitchen looks like the Jetsons. They're just all staring at this vase. It's like very French existential, which I like.
If we had six children and they were all behaving in a weird, in sync way, I'd be like, this is Children of the Corn. I don't like it.
I'd be like, absolutely not. Don't speak to each other. You're all going to separate rooms till you can just stop being weird. They're all sweating. They just keep cutting to the vase, which is hilarious.
Oh, so you can see these leaks finally.
They're like, kids, drink the milk. Drink as much milk as you can.
Each child has an enormous glass of milk with their dinner.
Milk is hilarious. So all these kids are covering for each other? I don't think so. Have you ever met a kid, Sherwood? How many rooms does this house have? Each of the parents is reading in a separate room. Was that the secret to a happy marriage in the 70s?
Children, we're going to take one fingernail from each of you until you reveal who really... Wait, who didn't confess?
Peter.
Oh, the one who actually did it. Oh, wow. What scum.
Yeah, what a heel.
Also, what hours does Alice keep?
Does Alice live with them?
There's no way. Maybe she does. Most families suffering through the 1970s. Oh, let's turn on TV. Oh, here's this huge family with a maid.
And one working parent. They're rationing gas. So they've decided just to punish all the children.
Oh, yeah, it's a Full Metal Jacket, you know?
These kids in their Easter egg pastel pajamas are ridiculous. The littlest one, Cindy, has like hair ribbons in to sleep. This is silly. So now they're like, all right, Peter can decide how to punish these kids.
Genius.
These Machiavellian parents. God, these kids all have like little leather slippers on. All right, so the kids have suggested different punishments that they might want to do, but the parents are like, no, these are too lenient. Don't forget, your dad has that paddle in his office. This is really the long game. This is crazy.
They gotta maintain order, because otherwise these kids will realize they could overpower the parents easily. 6 versus 2. And Alice would join in with the children.
Ooh, I do want Daddy Brady's shelving unit from his office. Look at that thing.
It's very beautiful. Mm. I thought you were going to say Mrs. Brady's outfit.
Oh, Mrs. Brady's outfit is great, but I don't think I could pull it off because I'm not 60 pounds.
I love how thick the parents are laying on
They're
Peter.
Really twisting the knife, which is great.
Oh, you're such a good boy. Enjoy your camping trip. Here's a present. We've tortured our child enough.
Oh no, now we're going into an evil dream ballet. We've done a rewind. This is like Peter discovers what anxiety is. Here's Peter ruminating on the broken vase.
Here's everyone slaving away doing their punishments, which are just normal chores that they should be doing anyway.
Yeah, these are spoiled children.
It's like mow the lawn. I'm sure normally Alice is out there
mowing
the lawn.
Yeah, Alice is mowing the AstroTurf.
These kids should always have to clean the screens.
Enjoy your camping trip, Peter.
Wow. Lesson learned.
All right.
Your guilt will consume you.
Also, you may have OCD. Look at this AstroTurf. It's not even an attempt at real grass.
I didn't hurt the awards. Marcia always makes such a big deal out of everything.
Jan, if those had been your awards and Marcia had dumped them somewhere, wouldn't you be upset too?
I guess. But every time Marcia turns around, they hand her a blue ribbon or something.
Oh, now, Jan, you know that isn't so. Marcia's worked very hard for those things.
Well, all I hear all day long at school is how great Marcia is at this, or how wonderful Marcia did that. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia!
Now, sweetheart.
All those awards staring me in the face was just too much. I'm tired of being in Marcia's shadow all the time.
Now, Jan, you're not in anybody's shadow. Marcia's 3 years older than you. She should have more to show for herself.
Maybe, but everything comes so easy for her.
Oh, Jan, come on. You have to be realistic about this. Nobody has smooth sailing all the time.
Well, that's right. Marcia has her disappointments, too. She doesn't always win.
You'll never guess what! I just got a call from the school. I've been made editor of the school newspaper!
Before we jump back in, one word to describe the Brady Bunch so far.
Family.
So like a family, but there's something kind of off about it.
What's your word?
Mine is saccharine.
Oh yeah, saccharine's good. Yeah, I was thinking like cheesy, but I didn't like cheesy. Saccharine's good.
This song's a banger.
So the girls get to be lovely.
Uh-huh.
Not to bring gender politics into it.
Go for it, because this show sure didn't.
What are the men? 3 boys of his own. They don't get an adjective?
No.
Nope. Together and alone, I guess, are the adjectives they get.
How did these two meet?
I'm sure they did an Swingers episode Club? On it.
But like, how did they meet? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know absolutely everything.
Personal ad? Much.
Could be. Jan wrote an essay called What America Means to Me, but of course, in classic Brady Bunch fashion, we're not going to get to see what she wrote.
Absolutely wild. Coordinated hair ribbon. Totally 70s.
Bright red, like knee socks and matching jumper. Is that a jumper?
Yeah, good job. All right, so Jan, our classic middle kid, feeling a little overshadowed by Marcia.
Even her teacher, who's like, Jan, you're one of the best students I ever had. And you're like, okay, good. And then she's like, maybe one day you'll be as good as your sister, Marcia. Marcia's awards are great. It's like Outstanding Citizen Award.
Most Amazing Child.
Best of 3 sisters. Oh, wow. Look, Florence Henderson's grown her hair out. What is Greg Brady's shirt?
You mean Greg Brady's short sleeve sweater with crisscross ties that go up to the neck?
Does he have to tie it in the middle?
Tyler, as someone who owned a very similar shirt in the early 2000s, I will tell you that it is a fashion statement.
Do you have to tie it up?
Yeah.
Does it go all the way down?
No, it's not like a...
It goes pretty far down. Look, and he's got it not all the way tied.
Yeah, because he's a hunk, Tyler. He's a beefcake.
Is he old enough to be a beefcake now?
You can hear the two daughters arguing through the wall, and the dad is just like, hand me another screw. I gotta fix this shelf. He's completely uninterested in this conflict.
Normally, they're a nice, big, blended family. He's like, those two aren't mine.
I can't do this right now. I'm under a lot of stress at my architecture job.
Just in case this ever happened, I actually signed my name wrong on the adoption forms for Marcia and Jan. Bing, bing, there it is.
There it is.
She said the thing. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
The old 70s, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. If you're sad, if you're having a feeling that maybe you're not quite as good as your sister, just go do something about it. Go be better than your sister at something. Abandon these feelings of inadequacy. You're an American and a Brady, god damn it. How dare you feel inferior?
Can't believe all these girls had to take the name Brady. Wonder how they felt about that.
Meanwhile, we got Alice cutting up newspaper for no apparent fucking reason.
She's cutting up any story that mentions the Vietnam War or the sexual revolution.
Yep.
So the kids can't read it.
What is Alice's job description? Does this fall under other duties as assigned? Alice cooks for them, cleans for them, lives in their home, irons their shit, like gets the stains out of Daddy Brady's underpants. And now she's cutting up newspaper so that she can make pom-poms for Jan? I don't think so.
Maybe this is why Marsha's so good at everything. She has Alice do it all.
Oh, now we got Peter doing...
That's Greg.
Greg? Now we got Greg doing his best pom-pom squad. Greg's got great pants on right now, though.
What are those pockets? He could hold a lot of stuff in there. I think Alice is in a manic state right now.
Jan has decided she wants to be a cheerleader, like a little pom-pom girl, and she's practicing outside and she's clearly not great at it. And the dad just looks out the window and is like, well, she's working real hard. Jan is giving a very spirited, if not very good, audition.
What she lacks in skill, she makes up for with enthusiasm.
Really a lot of jumping. In the most 70s thing to happen, they've tallied the scores and they're going to just tell all the girls to their faces who made it and who didn't. And Jan for sure did not make it. There are only six girls that tried out and they were like, we only need four. The names of the two rejects are Jan Brady and the other one. All right, so Jan bombed out in the pom-pom audition, but her essay about America did win. Due to like an adding error, Jan's essay did not in fact get 98 points. It got 93.
What is this weird internal monologue,
so,
though?
She did not win, but then she has this evil little voice talking to her being like, nobody else knows that you didn't win, Jan. Don't tell anyone.
But it's, it sounds like a walkie-talkie. It's so weird. Why do these kids always have to have an ethical dilemma? A crisis of faith.
And yet an ethical dilemma that does not matter.
This arbitrary point system.
All right. So Jan, consumed with guilt at the school assembly, has revealed.
She's confessed. Didn't take long. It's pretty much the exact same ending as the last one.
Tell the truth, even though your president isn't telling the truth about Vietnam.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, interesting. Sometimes when we lose, we win. Confusing words of wisdom from Carol Brady.
Oh, here's Alice.
And up ahead is the Arizona Memorial.
Gee, it's something seeing the Arizona right underneath us.
Yeah. Even though it's no longer a commissioned ship, the Navy granted special permission to fly the American flag over it.
You mean like she was still afloat?
Yeah. You see how this is constructed? It's low in the center, and it's higher on the ends? That's symbolic of the ultimate victory. Look over here at the base of this flagpole. You see this plaque? Dedicated to the eternal memory of our gallant shipmates in the USS Arizona who gave their lives in action 7 December 1941. From today on, the USS Arizona will again fly our country's flag just as proudly as she did on the morning of 7 December 1941.
Look, the kids are all older in the intro.
Yeah, they did, I guess, reshoot this, huh?
The dad's grown out his mullet. All three of the boys are growing out their mullets.
Wow, those pants on Daddy Brady.
This is more like Zaddy Brady.
These kids are dumb. I love how gift-motivated Florence Henderson is.
She's like, what's in the box? Also,
can you imagine the cost of taking 8 people to Hawaii?
I was just going to say, yeah, he must be doing very
well. On a single
income?
What, did he design the Guggenheim this year?
Oh, no, it's at company expense.
A company expense.
He's checking out a building that's being built there that he helped design. And somehow his company is like, sure.
Are they taking Alice too? Somebody's got to clean their hotel, I guess. Oh, look, they're doing Sam the Butcher. That's weird.
Mike's embezzling like crazy.
Oh, this is like kind of that era of like when people dressed up to fly.
Mm.
You know, when like old people are like, people used to dress up to fly. Now you wear sweatpants. Like, I just want to be comfortable.
Why do you care?
Why would I wear control top hosiery on a place where my legs could swell? Get it together. I'm a compression sock queen, but I'm not wearing pantyhose. Florence Henderson is literally in a business suit to be on this plane.
Also, I feel like I never realized how little Florence Henderson was. Most of the kids are taller than her now. Oh, yep. Alice is here. And look, she didn't have to wear a maid outfit. She gets to wear this Cheeto orange pantsuit.
Alice is having a great time.
It's covered in Lay's.
We're here on the construction site that Mike Brady is supposed to be supervising.
Yeah, they've created jobs.
So he's building a resort that will destroy the local economy. How did they all fit in that station wagon? All right, so they're at the Sheraton Waikiki.
I like that Greg Brady's personality in this era is that he's horny.
Absolutely.
Stop him from, they have to spray him with a water bottle.
They really do. Also that the Bradys are all in like matching white pants and Hawaiian shirt costume right now is really great.
This is funny because there's so many like long shots of Hawaii. Like it's like the story is not that important right now. They're like, well, most viewers are just going to want to look at Hawaii.
Why is Florence Henderson squeezing their tour guide? They all each have an individual camera too, which is so funny.
They really are rich.
They're so rich. I want to be a Brady.
Yeah, we're literally just learning facts about Hawaii now.
Yeah, this is like something you would watch in like third grade social studies class to learn.
Like this counts. I always feel a little bad for the actress who plays Cindy. I feel like they wanted to keep her like little and
like
dumb
really juvenile,
for too
yeah.
long. And she probably was like, all right, I get it. Do I have to make the dumbest joke still? Bobby Brady has a water gun, but it's before they invented any safety standards for toy guns. It just looks like a pistol.
All right, so now they're paddling a boat.
It looks like a great vacation.
It really does. I feel like the whole cast and crew just wanted to go on a vacation, right?
Yes.
Like,
okay. Yes, 100%. Sherwood
Alice seems to be the only one paddling.
Well, as always, Alice is the only member of this family doing any real work.
Justice for Alice. Here's like a bootlicking, like the American military is the greatest and most powerful military on earth. And also the most realistic part where Daddy Brady just keeps reciting facts about destroyer ships. You're like, oh my God, shut up, Daddy Brady. Oh, here we are having a solemn visit to the USS Arizona Memorial.
Wow. Oh yeah. Dad Brady knows every single thing about this. The Navy has granted special permission for this ship, though it's been decommissioned, to remain in the water.
This is like your dad in Universal Studios energy. Hey, kids, look over here at the base of this flagpole. Let's all read a plaque together.
This is every dad on every trip energy.
It's so great.
He is reading a plaque to us all, to the children and to us.
I think Daddy Brady's wearing a wig.
Nah.
Look at it.
That's all real.
Is it permed?
I was wondering how they were going to get three episodes out of this, and now I understand.
I want Peter Brady's shirt so bad. His, like, embroidered peasant blouse that he's wearing. Actually, all of these fashions are really great right now. Look at Bobby's shirt.
Look at the dad. He's got a good one, too.
Bobby Brady's, like, four-tone shirt is phenomenal. It's got four different patterns on it. Why is their tour guide sitting on Daddy Brady's lap?
They're all very close together.
There's a large expansive boat that they're on, and the Bradys have to be like touching each other at all times. Oh no,
here it is. Right. the tiki idol.
The work crew has unearthed the tiki idol. And the music sting tells us that it's an evil tiki. All right, so here comes the Brady station wagon loaded down with 9 people. You're right. I love that Greg Brady's main plot point in this episode is just how horny he is. He's like, all right, tour guide, help me out. Where can I see women?
Oh, here we go. The two youngest boys have immediately picked up a cursed idol.
You know what I've learned from this episode? Don't touch stuff that isn't yours.
Don't let these boys wander around this construction site unsupervised to begin with.
Bobby's going to get a piece of rebar through his eye.
He's going to get Phidias Gaged.
He's happily leaping between the rebar. Dummies. Like every white kid who went to Hawaii, he's bought a low-quality ukulele and is trying to play it.
And is mad that he's not immediately good at it.
But has strung the evil tiki on a leather necklace.
He's wearing it on his neck.
To wear it, yeah. Uh-huh.
Did anyone get a haircut in the entire decade of the 1970s?
Absolutely not. The hair was long and the shorts were short. The inverse relationship between hair and shorts actually describes America. Think about it. Are these two strangers also?
Yeah, two men have walked up. They've taken the ukulele and they're just playing for the two youngest Brady children. There are no other adults around.
It's a nice song.
This is the most weirdly slow-paced thing I've seen in a long time.
I just don't know how to feel about it.
It's nice. We're getting an entire song by these two men, these two native Hawaiian men. We've toured the entire island. Like, it was basically like a Travel Channel travelogue show for a little while there.
It was odd.
There was like no storyline.
These two Hawaiian men have been singing for approximately 2 minutes.
Yeah, they're doing a whole song.
That one guy's legs, though, are ripped.
Completely visible. Because the shorts are so short.
Inverse relationship between shorts and hair.
I cannot see the back of his neck, though. Totally covered by his hair.
It's the shorts hair corollary. Oh, that's Don Ho.
There you go. Okay. Here's us watching this in 2024, not recognizing that was actually a celebrity cameo by Don Ho.
All right, so the evil tiki has struck. Bobby sat on his ukulele.
Ah, yes. He's not just a clumsy, careless child. The tiki cursed him to sit on his ukulele. This would be great. Can I have an evil taboo idol to blame all of my clumsiness on?
Greg Brady is now entering a surfing contest to meet women, but all the boys have like brought their leather slippers with them. Like, what size was their suitcase?
All right. Bobby almost got impaled by a piece of wall art in the hotel room.
And, you know, even if he didn't get impaled, their dad's going to yell at them. So,
because it fell off the wall.
Yeah. All right. Here's the shorts hair corollary at work again. Honestly, these shorts are back. So, like, five inch inseam.
Yeah.
Good for Alice.
Oh, no. Alice has the idol.
No. Do not take the evil tiki. All right, here's cultural appropriation 101. All the Brady women and Alice, their employee at Hula Lessons.
Alice, you'll be expected to do a hula back home for Mr. Brady whenever he requests because he paid for this trip.
There's no such thing as a free trip to Hawaii, Alice. Alice has got a great one-piece romper on, though, with the exception that it's bright orange. All of her wardrobe appears to be bright orange on this trip, which is shocking.
Three pieces that were orange so far.
Oh no, the evil tiki has struck. Alice has been paralyzed by doing the hula. Alice has received a back injury that will end her career.
Oh no. Keep your eyes on the waves, Greg. Don't get distracted.
Greg is now in a surfing contest. I don't think Greg has ever surfed before.
Yeah, they live in California, right?
Uh-huh. I feel like they live in like Fresno, though.
It's only 4 hours from the beach.
Yeah. You know what really brings you bad luck? Appropriating other people's cultures.
Look at his Brillo pad of a head of hair sticking up from the water.
Luckily, they'll be able to identify his body later.
Look at Mr. Brady's bathing suit.
Wow.
I knew you'd see that.
Mr. Brady has on the loudest print, tiniest bathing suit I've seen on a man outside of the Olympics. He wants to be, like, real aerodynamic, I think. All right, now we've got, like, some surf music and some surf montage film. Greg Brady, having never surfed before, is surfing. Takes a long time to, like, learn how to get up on a board. You have to, like, train yourself and balance. Greg Brady's just out there shredding.
He's surfed before. That's his board, probably. He packed it in their trunk.
Yeah, along with his leather slippers and their coordinated pastel pajamas. Florence Henderson's bathing suit is outstanding. Look at the print on that.
Yeah.
Oh, Greg's down.
Oh no, the coral reef has torn him to shreds.
His legs fell off. This is so long. There's so much surfing montage that does not further the plot in any way.
Kate, it's about the journey, not the destination.
I want to get to the destination. The destination is Hawaii in the 70s. Where's Florence Henderson's mullet? She just had it out at dinner. You think she's tucking it up? There's so much surfing footage. Is it for like people in the Midwest who have never heard of surfing?
Yeah. That guy in the background, he just disappeared. His surfboard vanished. It flew up into the air.
He literally, he did. He just perished. That was it.
Uh-oh.
Here it is. The tiki.
What's going to happen?
You got to put in the noise. Oh.
He wiped out very close to the shore. I thought he'd be like further out.
He died. Look, he's done.
Uh-oh. He's not surfacing.
Well, that's why Mr. Brady wore these tiny shorts so he could run really fast into the water to save his son. The whole Brady family is running into the water. Damn.
Florence Henderson's got a lot of rings on.
Yeah, because she's rich, Tyler.
Oh, that's the end of that first one.
Damn.
Wow. I'm surprised they showed Greg above
water
before the...
Why would you tell us he's alive?
Right. Wouldn't it be a better...
Oh, so much better to think that he was dead.
Like, then they don't show him here. His square is just empty.
Just a black square. R.I.P. Greg. Damn.
An accident like this is the last thing the Bradys expect. When Mike's company sends him to Hawaii to check on the construction of a building Mike has designed. And his boss generously offers to let him take the family along so they can all have a vacation. Then, while at the construction site, Bobby finds a small idol that was unearthed by one of the workmen. Bobby is unaware that according to ancient island superstition, the idol is taboo and brings bad luck to those who touch it. From this moment on, strange things began to happen. A heavy wall decoration just misses Bobby. Alice hurts her back at a hula lesson while wearing the idol. Then Greg wears the idol for good luck in a surfing contest and has this terrible accident. Now, minutes later, the family frantically searches for Greg. His surfboard is floated ashore, but Greg is nowhere in sight.
Who is the voice of the previously? It's like this deep voice we've never heard before.
Previously, never done before or since.
Oh, I guess we didn't need to watch the first one. This is a good recap.
Bobby found a small idol.
They're showing scenes we didn't see.
Mike Brady went to the bathing suit store. All the suits were too large. He had it tailored to be tiny, tiny.
This is the most insulting to our intelligence previously on I've ever heard in my life.
It's like a 5 minute previously on.
But he's like, did you notice Alice had the idol on when her back got hurt?
Alice got her Oh, good. We found him. Resolved.
The second we got done with the recap, Mr. Brady found him.
Here's this big, strong daddy to help you.
You think he was under too long and he has like just a little bit of permanent brain damage?
Just a little tiny bit.
He should at least be bleeding, right?
Yeah.
From getting cut up on the reef.
Oh, he was fine. All right, here's all the Brady kids to crowd him and make him feel weird. Like, oh, let's take him out of the ocean. He's nearly drowned. Let's all have all your siblings gather around and press close to you. This was the 70s medical attention. Greg, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hurt anywhere?
I'm fine.
All right, I forgot that they're staying in a hotel with a hotel doctor.
Yeah.
Do you think they have a detective, too?
Ooh.
I really want to be a hotel detective in, like, Paris.
What's stopping you from living your dreams, Kate?
I know.
Instead, you're sitting here watching the Brady Bunch.
Do you think there's still a hotel detective in some hotels in Paris?
Alice's psychedelic beach cover-up is just great.
It's absolutely on point. Oh my god, the tiki's washed up again.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
No, Jan, no.
Jan, use your critical thinking skills.
You're unlucky enough as it is to have been born Jan. Remember, Kate, Vietnam is raging.
Yeah, he's fine. Greg is completely fine and has suffered no adverse consequences from absolutely blasting his head on a piece of coral. On the bright side, Greg won't have to do the draft now because he can't see.
And the thing that clued them in that he's okay, the parents, is that he's still perving out.
Up.
He's like, I want to go to the beach and look at the girls.
Florence Henderson's outfit, though, on point.
Can you describe it?
A matching set bell bottom and crop top with a tie, and it is bright green. Absolutely wild. Here's Greg convalescing on the beach.
Just looking at women.
What an absolute voyeur. I don't like it.
It's such a weird...
He's essentially like crab walking underneath these women. Look at him. Now Greg is rubbing sunscreen on a stranger. Now they're all rubbing Mandy.
Oh no.
All the Brady boys are just rubbing this woman who they've met 30 seconds ago. I hate this.
It's disturbing.
I hate the 70s.
Peter and Bobby are getting in on it.
Let's not forget, the Vietnam War is raging. Women are being subjugated.
The ERA is failing.
Everyone is like lining up around the block to get gas.
Here are the Bradys on their Hawaiian vacation,
so
paid
relatable.
For by work.
Oh no, the tarantula. Because Jan has the evil tiki now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, it's Jan.
Here's Jan's bag with enormous lettering on it to say Jan. So we remember that it is, in fact, Jan's
bag. It's cool because it does look kind of homemade.
Yeah, she did it herself.
I want this outfit that Mrs. Brady
is
wearing.
It's really cool.
I want it so bad.
What's stopping you, Kate?
Nothing. Money. There's just a tarantula in the bag. Like, it's not...
I would be upset if there was a tarantula in my bag.
I think it would be surprising. However, even if they bite you, you're not going to die.
Oh, the number of times Jan reaches into the bag and doesn't see the tarantula yet, but they make sure to play, like, wild music.
Florence Henderson is talking to birds, which
Bye,
is
bird.
Hilarious. All right, here's more...
Oh, no.
B-roll footage of everyone surfing.
Wow, I wasn't expecting more surfing. How'd they get, are they in a helicopter?
This is obviously a one long advertisement for the Sheraton Waikiki. I like Mrs. Brady's energy where she's like, buy me something. All right, so now the tarantula has left the bag and is in the hotel room. We're spending a lot of time with this tarantula. This poor tarantula, he's doing a lot of really good spider acting though. I'm proud of him. And I don't think he was treated well.
Here's Peter Brady taunting God.
We literally are watching a spider crawl up a blanket. This is so boring. I thought the evil tiki would be a lot more exciting. I do remember being really scared of the tarantula and like so worried that it was going to hurt someone.
Tarantulas in shows like this, including these episodes, I almost couldn't look at the TV when they
really?
Would be on. Yeah. I'm finding now that I'm kind of over it. It's
okay.
Still like a little skeevy.
Do you think you'd ever hold a tarantula?
In the right situation, I think I might.
Yeah, like when you were like calm and rested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it had like a nice owner or handler with it to tell me what to do.
You just have to keep your hand flat. Just stay still. It's not going to hurt you.
But yeah, like this kind of stuff on TV would make me like wince. It wouldn't
like
make
nauseous.
Me stop watching
yeah.
the show, but I would definitely like glance away until this part was over.
It's not even
even that big of a tarantula. He looks like pretty cute, actually. He's fuzzy, you know?
I would not be happy if I woke up with a tarantula on my chest. It would
certainly be startling. But that was the most realistic bug removal that I've ever seen. He's using his leather slipper that he's packed to shovel it off of Peter.
Like, and he just goes,
goo!
And then they all like wiggled around and flinched.
They're going to put him in this sack and take the tarantula outside.
That's nice. They're not going to kill it.
Yeah. Honestly, this is actually a great plot point.
Yeah. Mike's got the, Daddy Brady's got the tarantula in a bag. He doesn't want to tell Florence Henderson because she's scared of bugs. She thinks it's the jade she asked for.
The coral pin.
Coral, I'm sorry. That's some good classic sitcom setup and punchline.
God, all of Florence Henderson's outfits are so good. Ah. I just want them so bad.
I don't even know what kind. What would you even call that thing she was wearing?
Is it a dress? Like a nightgown.
Okay, it's a gown.
Like, yeah, that's like nightwear, dude. Is David, their tour guide, being paid for this?
Yes, he's one of the construction workers, and he gets to just take them on tours around the island instead of do backbreaking labor today.
Yes, but is he being compensated?
If I were Mr. Hanalei, Hawaiian guy, I'd be like, why are these three American tourists showing up at my home?
With an evil taboo statue. Also, this is like such a bad, I feel like this is such a crappy representation of like an older native Hawaiian guy. He speaks like broken English.
Yeah.
So now he's like, all right, you got to repatriate this item back to the resting place of the first king of Hawaii, which is confusing.
Boys, don't listen to that native Hawaiian man. Bring the curse home with you. Thanks, Mr. and Mrs. Brady. Why does Bobby have popcorn? Look.
You have to bring a snack if you're going to go on a trip, especially a trip your parents don't know about. What if you get lost?
To a cursed burial ground.
Bobby's just eating popcorn in the popcorn. Hawaiian wilderness. It's the most 70s thing to ever happen. Is this Chekhov's popcorn? Like, is this going to be incorporated later?
I don't think so. I think that actor was just hungry.
They're like, he's being real moody. Get him some popcorn from the cart.
Might have been the child labor laws at the time. They had to feed him every so many hours.
God, I love a 70s, like, half button shirt. But it's like, you know what I mean? It's like a quarter zip, but it goes down to your belly button. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
So far, Peter, the middle child, has had all the best fashions of the boys.
Yeah. They're leaving a popcorn trail.
Chekhov's popcorn. Also, look how wide the collar is on Greg's shirt.
You could land a plane on it. How many days have they been here? Are the kids in school? Oh, look, a philodendron. Here they are, like, treading on a native Hawaiian sacred site.
After being told not to go.
Yeah, scattering their f***ing popcorn all over the place. Typical American.
You know they're going to drop that container, too, when they're done with it. Oh, yep. Greg just left the bucket on some sort of sculpture. Like
some sort of sacred totemic statue.
Thousand-year-old statue. Let me put my popcorn bucket here.
These little pieces of
Always love an undisturbed cave in a piece of media with lit torches inside.
They shouldn't put these kid actors around this much fire, though.
And some of them have a lot of product in their hair.
Why are they walking like the Scooby gang? They're walking like a Hanna-Barbera walk cycle right now.
This is very Scooby-Doo-esque.
Who is this man?
You don't recognize this guy?
What? Am I supposed to?
This actor? We haven't seen him in this show before.
It's not Donald Sutherland,
is it? Nope, keep going.
Is it the same ilk?
When you hear his voice, you'll recognize him.
Who is it?
Wait till he talks.
No, just tell me.
Oh, end of part two.
When you've been alone as long as I have, you need companionship, someone to talk to.
Well, sure. Everybody needs a friend.
Yeah, but the point is, what are you doing here? Nobody knows about this cave but me.
Well, we just stumbled onto it.
Honest, we came to the burial ground to bring back the little idol.
Idol? What idol?
In Greg's pocket.
Which one is Greg?
We're back at the plane.
We're recapping all the way back this time.
Sisyphusian in nature. Just them tramping. They're like, we've been all over this ancient burial ground, marking it up with our Adidas shoes. Jesus Christ. Bobby would have been fine had he gotten hit by that. I feel like Bobby's older brothers pound him into oblivion every single day. This man is just all in khaki.
You haven't figured out who he is yet, huh?
No. Who is it? And he has a distinctive voice.
Oh, yeah. You'll know. The second he speaks, you're going to know who it is.
What if I don't? Are you going to divorce me?
No.
Why are they shouting now? This is the worst of American tourism. I don't...
Nothing?
Uh-uh. Who is it?
You'll see.
Tell me.
I'm going to give you another chance. I can't believe the boys haven't returned here to the Sheraton yet. The amenities are so great. Why wouldn't they come home early? The rates on these rooms were very affordable. Cave exploring is no joke.
Well, who is this man? Tell me.
You really want to know?
Yeah.
Vincent Price.
Oh. I don't really have much of a reference point for Vincent Price.
Edward Scissorhands. Last we saw him on Nostalgia, he was Egghead on Batman.
Okay, that, yeah, that I can hear, but I don't have like a Vincent Price. He's not a voice where I'm like, oh, that's very recognizable for
me. The song Thriller, The Fly, except you fell asleep watching the original Fly years ago, so.
All right, so Vincent Price is now dressed up in like what we can maybe assume is like a Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander ritualistic costume, like a ritual costume or like a traditional costume.
Likely an insulting use of this imagery.
Why is he in this cave? Why is he wearing khaki?
I don't know. Does he live here?
Why does he have a spear?
Vincent Price is a great get for the Brady Bunch. He must have needed
money. He's
like
looking kind of hot here too. Yeah. Scruff. Hmm. So Vincent Price has tied these boys up. Hog tied them.
This does not look good. What's he like? What's his plan? Is he going to kill them?
Bobby Brady looks like he would have a red Gatorade mustache every day if he was living in the golden age of Gatorade, aka 2002.
Now they're being forced to watch Vincent Price eat beans.
Such a weird f***ing episode.
How did he overpower and tie all three of them up? They just rolled right over.
He had
like
a knife,
right,
bro. I mean, they're little suburban kids. They don't know.
They could have overpowered him.
They don't know how to do it.
They could have overpowered him and they could be eating those beans right now.
I really feel like Professor Hubert Whitehead Humperdink, whatever his name is, would have been taken by QAnon, right?
Yeah, he's like, I've turned my back on academia. This is really interesting because we got three episodes out of their trip where they flew everyone to Hawaii, but this one, the majority of it so far is taking place on this cave set, presumably back in LA.
They could not afford to send everyone to Hawaii for an extended period of time. They were like, all right, we got to do the soundstage cave.
Here we go. Mike and Carol are going into the woods with the flashlights following the popcorn trail.
Yeah, mommy, daddy are helping. Jesus Christ.
He's got him at spear point.
Yeah, he's got spears.
It is interesting to see them being held hostage at the point of a spear, like their lives are in danger, theoretically. This is a really weird choice for the Brady Bunch. Vincent Price could impale any of them at any minute.
Mm-hmm. Native birds would have eaten this popcorn.
And like died from
it. It would have been a trail of dead endangered birds.
Well, that'll lead them to the cave.
Okay, so they found the popcorn trail.
Like, when Mike and Carol arrive, aren't they going to be like, we need to murder this man. We don't know what he was about to do to our children.
You know Mike's strapped. You know he's packing heat. You know Daddy Brady has a gun on him at all times.
No. Where in that bathing suit could he have been hiding that gun? This man is just keeps threatening to kill these children.
This is heartwarming. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think actually Carol Brady's going to beat him to death with his own spear. I cannot believe how much time we're spending in this cave. And you had to wait for this third part. Like, this is very anticlimactic.
Now they're fighting over which totem they were tied to.
That's very realistic.
Classic kid.
Like siblings.
Bobby Brady's like, that one's mine! Why are you tied to that tiki? Amazing.
I believe that.
He's tied and untied these kids like three times. Also, there's three of them. They are young, virile youths. And there's one Vincent Price.
2 minutes ago, you told me they were soft suburban boys who that...
It doesn't mean that they couldn't try. They believe their lives are on the line here. And he is a soft man. Look at him. Bobby Brady could have at least bitten his leg or something.
Bobby does seem a little feral.
Why did you tie up my sons?
The parents are having such a calm response to finding this scene. He's like, you have a lot of explaining to do, sir. Why are my boys tied up here?
He has a 70s flashlight that weighs 15 pounds. He could have killed Vincent Price with that flashlight.
If this really happened, that's what would have happened for sure. Like, look, I appreciate the sort of positive, non-toxic masculinity of Mike Brady, but this is the time to be violent and aggro.
Mike Brady being like, all right, well, let's talk this out, sir.
This is not your child who you have to teach a nice, gentle lesson to, Mike.
This is an unhinged professor, distanced from academia, wandering in caves.
Literally
stealing
caught
artifacts.
Doing harm to your three children.
We're not going to contact the police. We're just going to go to a luau now.
They brought him with them.
No.
Vincent Price is at the luau with
them. Where?
He's sitting in between the Brady parents. Watch. Also, this is very White Lotus.
Oh, yeah. This is giving me absolute White Lotus vibes, and I love it. Where's Paula? Paula can't eat fructose. Yep, Vincent Price is here.
Yes,
their children's kidnapper is hanging out with him.
Yes.
They must not like these kids very much, you know? Like, they're like, I, too, have wanted to hogtie my children.
This is unhinged.
It's
that
bizarre.
They're friends
this
with
is
them.
The weirdest thing that's ever happened.
Like, look, I'm all about restorative justice, but this is just too much.
Don't hang out with your son's kidnapper. You can forgive someone without becoming their friend.
Oh, now they're all going to put their mouths on the same conch shell.
They got to sound the horn of brotherhood, Tyler.
Oh, it's so unsanitary.
This was pre-COVID. But like, post-cholera, you know? It was the 70s.
We're going to watch every member of the Brady family
individually. Is sounding
the horn. Wow. And there's so many horn funny noises can they can make, right, to make us quote-unquote laugh.
All right, so they just all had to blow a horn, and now we're going to continue the luau.
And we are going to watch the luau.
The whole luau. Vincent Price is looking like my grandfather at the beach.
He does have black socks
full
on.
Saddle shoes and black socks.
That's a great detail.
They need a 747 to get all the Bradys home. Jesus Christ. Are they taking Vincent Price with them?
He lives with them now.
All right.
Wow. A three-parter. That was the length of a whole movie. All right, Kate. So remember, you saw... I know it feels like we've never done anything except watch The Brady Bunch in Hawaii.
I have no memories before this, and I will form no new memories since watching this.
But we did see them break a vase and glue it together and have the water shoot out.
It just all feels so low stakes in comparison to the tiki.
Yeah, no one's life was in danger back then. And then, what was the other one? Oh, the other one was the Marsha. Yeah. Jan feels inadequate, but it turns out Jan's the smart one. Okay, what do you think of The Brady Bunch? Isn't it a quaint little fun?
It's too quaint.
Way there's to forget like no, about the ongoing conflict in Vietnam.
There's no character development that happens at any point.
Oh, well, sure. Greg became horny.
Yeah, Greg became horned up for every female. And that was it. And Greg is the type of person who would say females.
So you don't like the fun little, simple sitcom plot, funny 70s. How about the outfits? Was that worth it?
The outfits were worth it. I want all the outfits. I want the Brady Boys outfits. I want Florence Henderson's outfits. I want them all.
At least you had that to look at.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought this was great fun. I could watch every episode of the Brady Bunch.
Really?
No problem.
Oh, I could.
Yeah, it's so, and that was the appeal, I guess, right? Because you could argue that it's ignoring important issues, but I think the point was it was a distraction from the important issues of the day. You know what I mean? It's just like
I get it. Super quaint,
but also has this weird, like every once in a while, you know, like women's lib joke to remind you like what's going on in the world.
Ah, we don't have rights.
So no, you're not gonna dig in and watch any more Brady Bunch, huh?
Surely not.
You won't get to the Cousin Oliver era.
I've seen enough AstroTurf for my whole life.
All right, Kate, thank you again for taking a little trip to Nick at Night, to TV land. We'll do this again maybe in a month, back to the 90s for a while, though, in early 2000s. Send us your voicemails, follow us on social media, notstalgia.org. See you next week.
No, that was too fast. Can I say it?
Yeah.
We love to get voicemails, guys. You can send us a voicemail. Can you still do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Even though there's no anchor?
I think there's... Maybe that's why we haven't gotten a voicemail in a while. I never tried. There's a link in the episode, in every episode description. Is that just a leftover?
Probably.
Oh, I guess I should have looked into that.
Probably
try it.
Anyway.
No, we got one not too long ago.
By not too long ago, do you mean 2019?
Maybe. Okay, so go on.
Yep, you can find us on social media. I don't think we're on Twitter X anymore.
We're there. We just exist.
Don't be on that.
You can message us there if you
don't
want.
Don't do it. Don't.
I will receive it. I might not see it right away. Also, if you've been sending us messages on Instagram, I may not have noticed. I don't think I know how to use the app properly. It's a paper airplane? That's where the messages are?
Yeah, that's where the messages are.
Okay. Maybe you should take that one over, Kate.
Maybe. And you can email us, and you can go to our website, which I think Tyler is still updating, but it looks really old and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gives me like indigestion every time I see it.
Doesn't remind you of a better day when the internet wasn't full of misinformation and awful social media and exploitation, and it was just like a fun place to share information?
I wasn't really on the internet at that time. So well, no.
That's what it looked like back then, Kate.
Make it look like a book.
www.nostalgia.org.
Oh no! Mom's favorite vase.
She always says, don't play ball in the house.
Or does she? Carol Brady always says,
hi honey, how was your day?
She sometimes says,
will somebody please tell me what's going on?
Once she said,
don't tell me those rabbits got into the shower with Greg.
But she never in all 117 episodes ever said,
don't play ball in the house.
But if she had, it would have sounded something like this.
Don't play ball in the house.
The Brady Bunch, weeknights at 9 on Nick at Night.